And if you would turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And in our study of the book of Hebrews, which we have coming to the end of such, we're reminded God has made a wonderful thing possible by way of the Lamb of God being slain from the foundation of the world. Christ died on the cross. Dying on the cross made possible the impossible. And God, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is about to encourage, is for the believers to be encouraged to pursue all the wonderful benefits that God has made possible because of his death. And Hebrews makes it, how is it all possible? Because the Christ who died for us is the Christ who lives for us. And he makes possible not only his saving grace, he makes possible a holy living, a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done. Therefore, as we've been Hebrews chapter 13, and we were reminded of the little things as you go to get on the beach, remember, military or football game or something else, a big event, you have to go and you've studied up, you've made everything ready, now you're going to go and enter the beach or whatever. And in doing so, you get some at last minute quick reminders. Hebrews 13 is the last minute quick reminders as we come to the end of Hebrews. Now, keeping that in mind, therefore, one of which we share together in chapter 13 and in verse 17, which is where we were. And we're looking at the leadership. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, hang on to that. We want to take that apart because as we come to the end of the age, which we're living in, and you note the absence of good directions, the general church, churches, Christendom, the general mood and movement of Christendom is a blind people going in no direction. We have nothing. And we're going downhill all the time. It gets worse. The darkness gets darker. Why is that so? Because there's no, what do we know? In leadership, keep in mind, if you would, remember them. So, here's everyone's, you know all these things. You know what? Well, God's going to do Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When you come to the end of Proverbs, of humanity, chapter 21. Everyone did that which is right in their, what? Their own eyes. Hebrews, Isaiah 53, to sum it up. Lord, how do you see humanity? They are sheep going astray. The Lamb of God needs to be slain in order to save them. For everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Everyone's doing what they want to do, the way they want to do it. They're sheep for the slaughter. Sheep, the type of animal that needs a lot of leadership. They go all over the place. So, us humans are that way. Everyone's doing what's ever in our head, and we need leadership because we're followers. We're sheep followers. We do what's in our own head, and whatever is the mood, movement, we follow it all over the place for a thousand, in a thousand different directions. We do that. And you know, also to add to that, which we did in Romans in chapter 3, everyone, when you're all done, Jew and Gentile, Romans 1, 2, and 3, what do we do, Jew and Gentile? We're all, verse 19, we're all guilty before God. None of us, there is none righteous, no, not one. So when we look at you, here we are, following. What are we following? We're following the sheep, believers, people. We're following people because we're followers. And if there's a given follower going in a given direction, we tend to follow them, whatever it is, religiously, politically, socially, whatever it is, we follow them. We're followers. And there's none righteous. So when we talk about leadership, we aren't going to find it by in humans. Point. We're not going to find it in humans. So when I read Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, etc., about leadership and follow, I need to understand that. So, because that's what people are doing. We're people following. We're following and going in the wrong direction, and we aren't coming out any. We're blind, following the blind, and we're ending up in not good shape. So therefore, I need to understand that. So if I'm going to get, how do I find my way through the wilderness? Why am I here? Where am I going? All the different questions that come, there they are. I'm not going to find the answer in humans. Point. None of us are going the right direction. Yeah, none of us. I have to look to God. Get that clear. So then you aren't getting caught up so easily with humans. Leaders are there to promote this and do that, and we're prone to follow, politically and otherwise. And nothing wrong with it. It's just we don't end up very good most of the time. So I need to understand that, so that I'm not looking overly so to humans. Thank God for good government, and thank God for a lot of good doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. Thank God for them. But then only humans. So I'm going to have that in my little head so that I start off correctly, and I'm not going to get caught up going all over the place looking to find my way in the wilderness. I'm going to look to God. God says that's where you start. In the Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You want to answer anything? Begin with God. So we're looking to God. Now, having said that, having that simply in my mind, in your mind, if you like, in your mind, so that it isn't humans, because they aren't going to get anywhere. We're only going to get caught up in following a human who's think they're a good guy, and then they lead us where there's not a good direction. So I don't want to get caught up with humans. I got to get caught up with God and His Word. That's my starting point. I stay there. I'm to stay there and keep there. In the process, God gives us all the wonderful things that we need to proceed forward, because God's going to guide us, direct us, keep us to honor Him. That's what it's about. So therefore, back over in Hebrews, Hebrews in chapter 13, we said, and keep in mind, everyone did that which is right in his own eyes, and we don't want to get caught up in that. And God wants us to know Him personally in a personal way, secondly. Thirdly, we know that wonderful offer of God our Creator and Redeemer, is rejected, and men reject him. They love darkness rather than light. They reject his word. And therefore, in our society, the ruled by the ruled, make for rulers. That's where they come from. We want to be ruled. We're looking for someone to lead us. Someone know, where do we go? How do we work this out? You've got to have somebody. And we do it. And add to the little list to keep in mind, what do you know when you come to know the Lord as your Savior? God, the Spirit of God, takes over. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. I need to be. The one who saves me is there, my shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. So God, here we are. And God, the body belongs to you. So I'm not going to get caught up in humans again, because humans aren't going to make it. There's none righteous, no, not one. So I'm going to look to God. God, you got it. So I'm already there when I come to know the Lord as my Savior. I need to have that understanding in my little head and my little heart. And we share together, adding to that, going back to Israel. Israel had God, was their governor. God was their God was God, who they worshiped God. They were to honor God. God governed them. They had no king, no judges. They just had God. They kept him. But they didn't want that, remember? 1 Samuel chapter 8, we shared together. And in chapter 8, what do we find out? They wanted to be like the world. God spelled it out. We read it in 1 Samuel chapter 8 as we went through the verses. God said, you're going to be taxed, you're going to be abused, you're going to have to go to war, you're going to have all kinds of things because you wanted human rule. Human rule is going to do what it does, which is what we know. And in the process of that, so you don't want to have, you want to have God's rule over you, underline. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, And remembering that we're to be governed and guided by God's wonderful person. Now, and so therefore, here are all these leaders. And in chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule. Remember, the word rule means to go first. To go first. Someone who's ahead of you and you see their back, because they're ahead of you moving. Remember, we did all these things in John 12 and that. The Lord said, if you're going to be with me, you're going to follow me. So follow me. Wherever I am, you're going to be. And you know from Peter and all that, God, the Lord Jesus said in a most wonderful way. Now, I'll pick that up in a minute. Verse 7, remember them that have rule over you, spoken to the word of God. And many of them have died. Many of them would have died. Their leaders, they just die. Good people die. We think all the people we knew that have passed on, that were good leaders, trying to get us in the right direction. And they die. But remember them. Remember where they were, how they lived, and where they were going. Don't lose their example. Hang on to it and follow them. Follow them. So when we come over to verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. In the light of verse 7, all those that are there, all those that are still alive, they're still alive. The writer of Hebrews is still alive. Maybe the Apostle Paul writing is still alive. So therefore, follow them that have the rule over you. Hang on. It'll come out okay, I think. And in the process, the word obey means to suffer, to be persuaded, to yield assent, to be convinced by words, etc. What are you going to do? What do you believe? Where are you going? I'm going to God. Are you going to God? I'm not going to church. I'm going to God. I'm looking to God to go down the corridor of time. That's what I'm doing. And that's what you're looking for. Believers are to be looking to God, abiding. Branch and the vine, they're abiding, looking to God. That's it. You want to follow people that are looking to God. That's what you're looking for. They aren't looking to anywhere. They're just looking to how to work the family, job, home, work, home, school, everything, bills and everything. No, I'm looking for God to work through all these things. I'm trusting God to do so. So that's the word obey. And it's a present tense, so be obeying. That means yielding. That's true. If someone there, they're going the right direction. Actually, using a silly illustration maybe, if you already are in the sixth grade, make believe, then I, who am in the first grade, will follow you. Why? Because you are five grades ahead of me. Why? Because you know. So when I'm trying to learn it in the first grade, but I'm with you, I'm looking to you, you already have been through the first grade and the second grade, and you're in the sixth grade. Why wouldn't I follow you? You certainly know how to do this better than I do. I would follow you. That's logical. We do that humanly. Humanly, that's what we do. We need to do it because we're going through the cycle of needing to know things. Why do we hear the economist? Because the economist is the expert on knowing how to fix everything. Fix everything, like the weather. Anyway, we got all of that. So we got all of that. And we're looking. We're looking to God. We're looking to the people to follow. The mathematician, the doctor. Why do I go to the doctor? Because I don't know. I got something in somewhere, and I go, and the doctor's supposed to have spent more time studying me than I did. So he knows all about my insides. So I go to the doctor. Why? Because I'm a follower. I'm a follower. Where how do I get to God? I go to church. How do I find God? I go to religion, some religion. I'm looking to find the future. I'm looking to God. So we're prone to do so. Obey them that have the rule over you. But, and then, we're qualified. So people that are there, leading, thinking, understanding. Verse 17, obey them that rule over you and submit to them. And in the process of submitting, it means to go. And yield, to give way. The sixth grader knows more than I do. I yield to the sixth grader to help me understand. Therefore, obey them, submit to them. You're persuaded they're trying to go in the right direction, looking to God, and you're there. You agree. You agree with them. That's right. You're trying to get to God. That's what it says. Help me to understand it. So in the process of understand and have me submit. And keep in mind when you do that, just as there's another word, submit, more than one. Here's the word submit, to yield, to give way. There's another word submit, same movement, to rank oneself out of general, colonel, corporal, private. Rank yourself under. That's the word. Understand. When you're in the service or something, and you're there, do you know what? You may have had a commander or a leader over you, and you did what they said. Why did you do what they say? Because they are leaders. And they had authority. Where's the authority of the believer come from? From God. God gives authority. What we're doing even now has no authority. All that we're looking at and trying to think about has no authority apart from God. Presence, they're only words. Without God, there's nothing. There's no life. It's a state of death. God, I need light and life to have, to enjoy thy word and reality. So therefore, keeping that a little bit in mind, then we're going to submit to the, submit. Oh, I was going to give you the other word that helps, I think. Over to Peter. First Peter, and in chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, may I go directly to verse 4. As when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject, there's the word again, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt that he may purpose, he may exalt you in due time. And now, two things, the word submit and subject is the word to rank yourself under. Recognize the commander is who he is. That's what he got. So you recognize that. You may be smarter than him. Sometimes the people are smarter than the teachers in a given area. But the teacher is the leader. So you don't, you understand that and you yield to that in a good way, understanding it. So you go down the corridor of time. That's what you're looking for, to get there. And in the process, you're going to go and rank yourself under the leadership to get there. Now, in the process of doing that, and you're going to go and honor God, and you honor. What are you doing when you submit? You're submitting to God, A. Think of all the different ways that the word's used. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. In the what? In the fear of God. In the fear of God. You're looking to God. You aren't looking to someone to lead you all over the place. You're looking for God in the system that we live in, looking to God to take care of you as you go down the corridor of time. And you're looking, submit in the fear of God. God looking to you. We live on planet Earth and we do what we have to do. Now, and therefore, in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What are you going to do? You're going to let God, you know, here we are, his little watch thing go to bed, his thing and his watch, and the watch is there. And once God says, humble yourselves under the hand of God. Let God push you down, that he what? May exalt you. Let God humble you so that you'll see correctly, think correctly, do correctly, and God will honor you. God is exalted. That's what the whole business is, to honor God in the whole process. Now, having said so, and keeping that in mind, verse 17, Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch. Reason, for they watch because, present tense, watch because they are awake, to keep awake, to keep watch. They don't go to sleep. They're watching, watching over you, watching over you. That's what they're doing. Now, that's where, in the beginning, let's go to the beginning, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 or through, what do we know? The apostles, what were they doing? They were there. And chapter 6 of Acts, book of Acts. What were the apostles doing? They were giving themselves to the Word of God and to God in prayer, looking for God to give them light and instruction that they could teach the people. That's what they were doing. What are they supposed to be doing? They're looking to God to be able to be a vehicle for God to dispense His Word to the people. That's what he's looking for. And so they were looking to God to do so. And as they were looking to God to do so, that's what they, in looking to God, trusting God, in that, they were concerned. They were representing as priests, good. So we're all priests to represent God and to represent humanity. We bring, the believers come before God, and God, they're able to come to God. And they're able to come to God as sinners, saved by grace, and they represent all the people behind them. They represent, because they're examples. They're leaders. They're leaders coming forward, looking to God to help them. Now, having said that, and coming forward, as it were, as those, for they that watch, they're watching. Now, we don't have much watching today. Acts chapter 2, 4, 6. When you come to Revelation chapter 3, 15 and onward, what have we got? They have no interest in watching, looking to God. They need nothing. They have everything. The church, this is the church at that point. And that's where we are. So where are the people like that? It's hard to find them. Why is it hard to find them? Because we're at the end of the age. In the beginning, there was fire, there's zest, there's joy, but we're at the end. So to find people that are zealous correctly for God, that are truly looking to God to run the race, that's hard. We're religious, we fool everything, we do the pulpit or whatever we do, and we do it and we're done, it's a job, it's a hard job, but we do the job, and that's what we do. That's what we do. As them that watch for your soul, let's see that in action. Over to Ezekiel. Over to Ezekiel, as you would know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, any of them, is Ezekiel chapter 2. Keep in mind, Ezekiel is going to go like Jeremiah, and he's going to deliver a message to the people that have rejected God's saving grace at this point, but have left to Babylon. So here's Ezekiel in Babylon dealing with the people. And God tells them the attitude hasn't changed. But therefore, chapter 2, sliding down over to verse 5. And you're going to go and speak to them in verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them, and he's going to go and do what he has to do. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, not hear. For they are most rebellious, and they're going to go. Verse 8, and thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll in a book was there. And I was to go and devour and have an understanding. And what was the understanding of what was in the book? Verse 10. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, both sides, both page, inside page, both sides of the page. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. It wasn't a good message. It was a hard, hard message. And remember chapter 3, that he had to go and eat that. Verse 3, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey as for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. And they aren't going to hear, remember, they don't want to hear. Over to verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt give him, and thou give him not warning. In other words, you don't tell him, it's all right, you're going to go to heaven, everything's wonderful. Nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but, underline in your mind, his blood will I require at thy hand. You didn't warn them. Watchmen, they have a job. You don't see them much. No more. Well, that doesn't mean they aren't there. There just aren't enough of them. There are not enough of them around to warn you. It's no game. God says, warn them. I hold you accountable. When you're going to take that position, if God gives it, you are responsible. Not the sheep. Not the sheep. The sheep goes all over the place. It's the people that are leading the sheep. People that communism and all of the, in China and all that stuff. Terrible, terrible, terrible conditions and situation in China and et cetera. And that, not good, not good. Do it a different way. Over to Acts and chapter 20. And this little effort on my part is to try to help you to be encouraged. You may not realize it, but I'm trying to help you to be encouraged. I want you to understand how to make it through this dense darkness that we're living in. You got to make it. And God wants you to make it. God wants you to make it. Not a game. He wants you to get there. So I'm trying to remind you. Because I have to, I'm the same as you. I got to travel down the corridor. What am I going to do? Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, you know. Chapter 20, in verse 30. Also, of your own, well, I got to read more than that. I'll read verse 28. I take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. In other words, you got a responsibility to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which hath he purchased with his own blood. So we got to feed them, you know. But there's a shortage, inflation and everything. Hard to get stuff, you know. Hard to get it, but you got to get it. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. In other words, they aren't going to go when the Lord's there. Those 12 disciples are very safe. The Pharisees aren't after them. You won't hear the Pharisees are after Peter. No. No, they're after the Lord. They're after Paul. They want the top of the pile, the king. They want the leader. Get the leader and you can have the sheep. Knock the leader out. Remember I shared that with you? If I was back with a Sitting Bull or somebody, what would you do? I would try to get the leader. If I had my rifle, I can't shoot 500 people coming at me. But I'll take my best shot at the leader. If I hit the leader, there's a very good percentage that the rest of them will break off. Kill the leader. Now here's Paul. Paul is there And he tells you grievous wolves are coming after. Right now, they're after Paul. Right now, Paul. But, verse 30. Also, for your own sakes, are grievous wolves not sparing your flock. Also, of your own selves, that men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. That's the whole point. We're sheep, and everyone wants, the more people you got, the more powerful your thing is. What can I tell you? The more you got, it must be right. Look at all the people. Look at all the people bow down to Mecca. It must be right. No. Now, sliding over in verse, therefore, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn every one day and night with tears. Where do you find that? Warning. You don't hear that. People want to hear what is pleasant to them. That's why the big commercial, the overhead projectors, the everything, and you modernize it, and you talk about relationships, and have a basketball, and coffee, and tea, and have everything. Have all kinds of things. We are the old-fashioned John the Baptist. What are you doing? You're saving yourselves from eternal wrath. Why do you want to be baptized? That's what he said. Why do you want? You're running away. Right. So, here's Acts chapter 20, verse 31. I warn them day and night, day and night. Colossians chapter 4. And Colossians chapter 4, sliding over, if I may, directly to Ephesus, verse 12. 4:12. Ephesus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that purpose ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Watchmen. Where? So I and you, we have to what? Want that ourselves. We have to pursue it. When no one else does, you want to be doing so. Watchmen, warning them day and night with tears. That's hard. Who wants that? I only had that once in my life. Don't need all of that. I told it to you years ago in my journey. I'll tell you, yes. You'll remember it. Methodist Church. Methodist. I was raised in Methodist Church up in Massachusetts and all of that. And in the process, you would go to the Methodist Church because that's where you were raised. And I went to the big convention. This is the national convention in Santa Monica, California. A big thing. I tell you all these things. Anyway, all the big wheels were there from across the, representing the Methodist Church, sitting in a big table in front. And I sat in the first row looking at them. I made my point. Here's the seat, and I'm looking right at them. And I raised my hand. Anyway, I told you all this stuff. And I raised my hand, and I in the process, and they said, "What is this?" And I told them, I said, "We need to tell people they need to receive Christ as their Savior. We aren't telling them. They need to know God's Son." Let's not finish up. And they said, "Thank you, son." And they kept going. They weren't interested. So I walked out. I left and walked out. And there in the doorway, I wept as I never, only once in my life, have I ever wept like that. In fact, I was weeping so long, I didn't understand. I was right in the doorway. and they had finished and dismissed, and the people were walking by me, and I was still weeping. I think it was Janet there, maybe, what it was. That's the one time in my life I said, they don't want your God. They don't want you. Wow. Now, but where do we, here we are helping, trying to help each other. We're not trying to get down the corridor of time. That's what we're trying to do. So God, where are the people to warn? Who cares? Who cares? You're nice. You read your Bible. Do you read your Bible? Read the daily bread. Do you do that? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Are you believing God? Are you believing what you read? Are you letting God change your life? Oh, no, no. But I do it. Really, some people do whatever, count their beads, you know, count their beads, whatever they do. They do it. They do it. I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. I did it. See? I did my thing. I did it. Now, God, take care of it. No, no, it's a relationship that is to be developed and to grow. And that's what you need to do. So, hack over. I think you're seeing the idea. I'm trying to help you not get caught up in the system we live in. It's lousy. You need to be looking to God. On your own chair, bed, whatever you do, and open God's word and let God be getting to your heart and really do so and thank God for his presence always. Before you climb into bed or whatever, you sleep on a board or whatever, whatever you do, thank you, God, for your presence. All during the night, I am all over the place in my brain, but you are there. You're always straight down the line. So when I awake, God, thank you. Now, having said that, back over to Hebrews 13 again. I'm just wondering, I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to help you understand. I think it's important because I don't see people making it. I just don't see them doing it. And remember, we shared together, that's why Reformed theology and some of this stuff. It's because believers aren't doing it. They aren't, they're sheep all over the place. And we have everything except what we should have, the way God would do it. So Hebrews 13, verse 17. For they that watch for your souls, for they must give an account. They must give an account. They must give an account. They're responsible. What did he say to Jeremiah? What did he say to Ezekiel? What did he say to them? If you don't do the job, I hold you responsible. Your blood, I'm going to judge you. Jeremiah, I'm going to judge you, Ezekiel, if you don't do what I told you to do. Now, that isn't true for people. They can be all over the place. But leaders can't do that. They can't do that. They're responsible before God. I got to tell you, it's an awesome thing. I think it is. What can I tell you? Now, so therefore, to give an account, Romans 14, see it. Romans 14, and in verse 12, taking directly in the light of the context. I'll read verse 11, I guess. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account, an answer to of himself. Shall give an account of himself to God. Not just the leader, all of us. We're going to give an account. Ezekiel 20, 18, verse 4. Every soul is accountable directly to God. There's no one, if you had 10 children, 2 children, no children, you as a human being. You are directly answered. You must answer to God. There's no one born on planet Earth that is not going to have to give an account to God. Either the cross demands it, it's a summons to everyone in the world to come and give an account in the light of their sin and their guilt, to come and give an account. And giving an account, if they won't give an account, Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, where everyone will give an account that hasn't been saved. Everyone will give an account. Everyone must give an account. Leadership must give an account. So God, what are we trying to do? Trying to encourage ourselves. Back over to Hebrews 13. So that we roll up our sleeves and have a little more intensity in going down the corridor of time, if we may. And to do it, now watch, verse 17, that they must give an account that they may do it with joy. They got to give an account, right? And they want to do it with joy. Now, what do you mean by joy and how does that work? Simple little thing. Second Corinthians, we can. And you'll see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, now, what does Paul, who warns day and night, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow, for them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. I'm looking to come, that you're growing and knowing and honoring God. That's what I'm looking for. Where is it? See? Where is it? Do it again in a little different way. First Thessalonians. And see it all kinds of ways, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If I can, directly, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? What is so exciting for us that you're going to be there when he comes? It's exciting for us, said Paul. It's exciting. Are people excited that you know about your going up to be changed in the twinkling of an eye? Twinkled, that excited about it. That's their joy. They're accountable, looking for you to look for a soon appearing, et cetera, et cetera. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and back over to Hebrews 13, and picking up, please, and chapter 13, verse 17, for they that watch for your souls, that they might do it with joy and not with grief. They don't want to do it with grief, with sadness, with groaning, present tense. They don't want to do that. For this is unprofitable. It's harmful. It's not paying. No good. There's no good. There's no gain for you. You would not be helped in any way, the way you're going. You've got to change. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people that are leading you are not, they don't care. Look at over Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5. Picking up in verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 23 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Even better. Matthew chapter 23, picking up, if I may, in verse 2. Saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they did bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, etc. They love the uttermost rooms, etc. People, they aren't interested in you. They're interested in their position and power. Power, politic power. That's all right, they want power. That's what we want. The more you get, the more you want. You have to be careful. Wow, I'm a boy, I can say this, and you jump. Well, if you jump over here, I'm going to say this and jump twice, see? I like power. People like power. It's awful. I gotta quit. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.